Good morning. Today is Tuesday, July the 10th. Joining us this morning, the Executive Director of the Eureka Humble Visitors Bureau.
Correct.
Tony Smithers.
Good morning, Brian.
How are you?
I am splendid, thank you. Enjoying this
How come?
Sunny weather.
Oh, you're a fan of sun, huh?
Yep.
I crapped out yesterday about 2:30.
No. It's been top-down weather for me.
Well, you know, that'd be positive stuff if I got out of here. Let's see. Why do they say that this year, this time around, is what has the alligator got to do with the fruit known as the alligator pear? Any thoughts on that one, Mr. Tony?
Apart from the textured skin, I have no idea.
See, the answer, not a thing. But when people of one country take a word from another's language, they often change its sound and spelling to make it agree with a word that they are already familiar with. Thus, the fruit called abucatil by the Aztecs came to be known as aguate in Spanish, but the French turned it into avocat or a lawyer pear, while the English made it alligator pear.
Oh.
It's kind of like Del Norte, right?
Del Norte.
Instead of the Portuguese pronunciation of it. Yeah, yeah. So things happen. But I guess that's kind of the theme right now, that things are happening, huh? We heard in the newscast just a couple minutes ago about the Chronicle.
Right.
Looking north for some reason and doing a nice little layout of Humboldt County. Was that as an extension of some of the previous exposure that the area has gotten in the last 3 or 4 months? Do you think that was the trigger?
Not really. I mean, it all fits into the same wonderful pool of publicity, but this is something that my colleague Richard Stenger had been working on for quite some time. In fact, he had started a relationship with the writer while the writer was still with National Geographic Traveler. So he carried that relationship over to the Chronicle and was able to pitch the story and get him to buy it.
So when you say pitch a story, that sounds like somehow there's persuasion involved and something that's less than authentic. True or false?
No, because any kind of sale.
Let me restate it. True or false?
False.
Thank you, sir.
All
okay.
Right.
You're on.
Any kind of sales and marketing is authentic if you have a great product and you're telling the truth about it. In this case, though, when you have to pitch a story, which means that there is a gatekeeper at the media, and it could be an editor or a news director, a program director, whatever. They're the ones who decide what they're going to pay for, and so they have to get a sense that it's something that's going to be of interest to their readers. And so that's the pitch you have to make.
So it's kind of suggesting a story concept.
Right. And a lot of the times it's not just the nuts and bolts of what is there. It's what support can we offer you. So in our case, we're always saying, well, we can help arrange the trip for your writer. We can find them accommodations. We can access great photography and video for you. All those pieces. So in the case of this story, Richard connected them with Drew Hyland, a local photographer, who went along with the writer, for instance, when he was trying to find Hyperion, the tallest redwood in the world, and got a fantastic photo, which was the cover of the travel section in the Chronicle last Sunday.
The tree has a name?
All the big trees do.
Really?
Well, if you read the article, you'll see that the...
Don't take the Chronicle, sorry.
The park personnel are actually kind of wishing they didn't name trees, because that makes them more of a destination for people to try and find, and then all the issues of possible overuse.
Or like Big Tree?
Yeah.
Well, almost Big Tree. I mean,
Big Tree's not that exciting, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Or, I mean, typically, it's either age or girth or height, right? I mean, aren't those the three measurements that most of the trees have that are kind of in that arena?
With the exception of some trees which are sort of unique in their formation.
A deformed tree that
right.
looks like
So there's
something.
Like there's the corkscrew yeah. tree, there's the
right,
the Darth Vader tree, which Richard named as well.
A what?
The Darth Vader tree.
Was it breathe heavy?
It looks like the helmet shape. I believe it's a more of a snag.
Is it a redwood?
Yes, and it is on the fairly new trail between Ladybird Johnson Grove and the Highway 101.
Darth Vader tree.
Check it out.
Interesting. I'm still looking for the little teddy bears running around in Jed Smith.
Oh.
And the dinosaurs at Fern Canyon.
Miles Ladd, Bigfoot, while you're at it.
Yeah, well, you know, if there's a footprint that's anything over my size, it'll be concerning, yes. Whether or not there's fur on the blackberry bushes or not. So what was the takeaway? I mean, obviously there was exposure and hooray, hooray, hooray. But was there any different takeaway, or was it just kind of a revisitation in 2018 of some of the stuff that has been highlighted in the past?
Well, yes and no. It was a revisitation in that they did capture the essence of the experience. You know, this is, you're going to see these, you're going to have an incredible encounter with nature when you come here. But this particular piece also went a little further into the story to talk about some of the conservation and preservation issues, what are the concerns of the park, and that's very much in line with more and more travelers being trying to be ethical travelers. So that kind of touched that on.
This wasn't one of those, we got to keep them on the trail and reduce the number of trails?
See? No, not quite so much.
Good. Hey, we got a topic for the next segment then. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Tony Smithers. Tony, the presentation and the information that was presented by the locals to the writer from the Chronicle, you said that there was some new stuff that was discovered and there was some of the traditional stuff also. How do you, or Richard, I guess, in this case, who was doing it, how do you avoid the temptation of providing them the verbiage or wanting to editorialize or have your perspectives in there or to guide so that it becomes your piece with his byline rather than his piece with his byline and the enthusiasm that they may have rather than just kind of transferring the PR message?
Right. I see what you're saying. Well, for one thing, the Chronicle does not hire hacks. I mean, they're going to have their own...
No, but you can selectively show. If you only want to show certain things, I mean, anybody, I would think.
Sure. Yeah. Well, and it's interesting that you bring that up because in this particular case, the Chronicle actually invited Richard, my colleague, to write one of the pieces that were in the tab. So Richard did a big article on the oyster scene here in Humboldt Bay. And that was...
That's where it came from. I heard the story this morning. Oysters?
Under his byline.
Trees, oysters.
No,
trees.
It's not trees. it's Humboldt County, which is trees and oysters. There was a great...
So was he during the Oyster Festival? Or
no,
about that time?
No, it was more just the ongoing... We're a great, you know, we're the number one source of oysters in California, and here's where you can eat them, and here's how to experience them, and all the lore behind that. It's a thing. So the tab itself also included a really great review and photo essay of the Carter House Inns, which is where the writer stayed. And they also did an interview of one of the captains of the Mattaket, the lady who does the tour around the bay. And so it's not just about the redwoods, but that's what gets people here. And then we show them all this other wonderful stuff. And so in that regard, this tabloid was really perfect because it showed all sides of Humboldt County.
East, southern, north, coastal, all sides?
Well, not all locations, but certainly the natural, the cultural, the people, all the things that are going on here.
Inevitably, there must have been some discussion about the marijuana, just because.
You know, I did read it through yesterday, and I can't remember any mention of that.
So nothing made the cut, so to speak, which is refreshing, I think.
There might have been a throwaway line here or there, but it was certainly not a big...
It wasn't highlighted at all.
No.
What was the most pleasing surprise?
I don't know. There's so many of these that we get. Certainly, it was the in-depth, the really thoughtful coverage of the redwoods and some of the issues that the parks are dealing with, and but also making sure that they're really open and accessible to the visitor. That was really well done, and that hand in glove, because this is the year of the redwoods. What with the Lonely Planet designation of Humboldt County is, or the Redwood Coast is, the number one U.S. destination this year. Also, it's the park's 50th anniversary. It's the Save the Redwoods League 100th anniversary. So excuse us if we're a little besotted with redwoods this year.
Is it translating into more visitors?
Well, it seems like it, but we never know till...
After it's all cooked,
till the dust is settled, and we can, count rooms and bed tax and that kind of thing.
But the folks that you are in contact with, the restaurants, the retailers, the lodging industry, the attractions, are they seeing, is it a banner year?
Oh, it's hard to say. You know, there are other things going on in our economy.
Sure.
And, in fact, one can make the case, but boy, now tourism is really, really more important than ever to backfill some of the losses from the cannabis industry. But we did hear from some lodging people that their reservations are looking good for this year. As for the others, it's not going to be that great of a year for other sectors.
How's the visitor center thing working out? I know you're familiar with it. It's not your cup of tea.
Sure.
Is that proving to be a mystery? Is that proving to be a great boon? What are you hearing in general?
It's important for that we have that. I mean, for there not to be a welcome mat to the visitor would be a real, obvious lack.
Let me restate, in the location that it's in.
Sure. Could it be more accessible? Possibly, but it's probably made up for by the incredible space it's in the old Clark Museum. And I don't know if you've had a chance to be out at the Friday Night Market yet, which is put on by the Humboldt Maid and the Visitor Center. Well, there's a Friday Night Market going on through October, in fact. And it is a fantastic, lively street scene with food and drink and vendors and entertainment. And it all ties in well with the Visitor Center there.
And it's the Maid and Humboldt people? Or
Humboldt Maid and the Visitor Center are the main sponsors of that.
And that's Friday evenings in Old Town?
Friday evenings, 5 to 8, I believe.
Huh.
So I do recommend anyone checks that out.
Interesting. So overall, good stuff with the Chronicle's expose?
Well, the advertising value is close to $500,000 for that particular one.
Sounds like a good weekend.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
What do we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Tony Mithers. There's an S in front of that, and an S at the end of that. Smithers, there
Thank
we go.
Thank you.
Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, Redec, American Ag, and by Lolita Cheese. Tony, it seems to me, you know, having a conversation with a couple of folks, that there's significant traction going with that elevated walk thing through the trees at Sequoia Park.
Oh, you better believe it.
And I know that those in the know, familiar with the project, are really pumped about it. The rest of us really aren't up to speed with it, which, you know, we shouldn't be. You know, at this point, if it's still in the planning stages, it's kind of, okay, fine. So what is the status of this project?
Well, I can tell you. First of all, the project you referred to with the elevated redwood canopy walk is really
is that what it's called?
That's the technical term for it. That is not the brand name that this is going to be.
Has that been determined yet?
No, it's not that not that I know of.
Okay,
I think that's going to take some brain.
So I'm in the mainstream by calling it just kind of
we know what descriptors. Yeah. We know what you're talking to, but a technical term. It's a canopy walk. But that is really just part of a another sort of major development at the zoo, which sort of takes their more recent Watershed Heroes development on into the next level.
You know, it's bears and things
it's,
like that.
It's bears. It's some other some other habitats.
Are they going to have elk?
I believe that's it's going to be just like here's the Redwood Coast biome, if you will.
Okay.
Anyway,
kind of sounds like Jurassic Park, doesn't it?
Don't worry, everything will be fine. No,
if Goldblum shows up, I'm out.
the canopy walk and the elevated walkway part, though, is designed that weaves through these new developments and new areas to give really incredible viewing opportunities for the public to look down into the bear habitat and look down into the coyote or whatever is going to be there. But then it continues on, and because of the ravines and the gulches that are in Sequoia Park, where this is going to be running, there will be places we hope that the visitor will be a good 100 feet off of the ground. So that blows away just about any other canopy walk, certainly the other redwood one that's in New Zealand. It's going to be one heck of an experience.
Now, is it going to be a long walk? Is it a short walk? I mean, does it like go down to the duck pond?
No, it's
come
it's,
back
it
up, or is it just that initial, end of the draw?
Well, it starts and ends in the zoo, so it doesn't go terribly far from there. But it's at least several hundred yards that people will be able to walk around up this elevated vantage point.
Is 100 feet up enough to get into the canopy?
Not the the climax canopy, but it gives people a completely different perspective, and a different view of what's going on up there in the trees. They're up to where the branches are starting on the redwoods, and all the great science that's going
find
on.
Find all the widowmakers.
Yeah, and in my understanding is that there's going to be really good interpretation about what you're seeing and what all this means and what the redwood forest is all about and
signage rather than staff.
Both. So it's going to be it's not going to be done cheap or cheesy in any way whatsoever.
Well, the investment that the community has been making into the zoo today versus the zoo of 40 years ago is significant.
Oh, certainly.
Is significantly different. Is this the foundation running it? Is this the city running it? Is this a for-profit entity? I mean, it's tied into the zoo, and I know there was the challenges when they started charging for admission. And
sure.
Some of the budget challenges that are there. Is this going to be compounding that? Is this a separate? I mean, how does that connect?
I don't have all the details, but to my to my knowledge, the project, you know, the fundraising is done by the foundation. A lot of the planning and management will be done by city staff because it's a city.
It's still city property.
City property, yeah. Correct. They've brought in outside, you know, consultants and engineers and all this kind of thing. And the funding, though, seems to be sort of a separate track from some of the other things you were talking about in terms of the ongoing zoo.
Operational costs.
Operational.
And stuff,
yeah. What I know best about, of course, is that the Humboldt Lodging Alliance, of which I am still the administrator, has agreed to provide over $1.7 million.
Now, I've heard, what's the total project? Two or three different numbers that are...
I believe the total project with all the different developments and environments is pushing $10 million. Is that what you heard?
Yeah, it's... yeah.
Okay. And I believe that the city and the foundation have already got their lines on some other major pieces, and it could be that, you know, the Lodging Alliance, you know, seed money will help them get more money.
Use that as a lever.
It often works that way. It's a very... Anyway, but the Lodging Alliance funds are specifically dedicated to the canopy walk. So that was permitted, shovel-ready, so that's going to be going ahead real soon.
Kind of a independent, and the others are related to it.
It takes the lead,
Rather than one single entity project.
Right.
KINS, News and Information Times, 8:42. We will be back with more.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to LA will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like LA is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Tony Smithers and the trail through the redwood trees. Really, into the redwood trees. Now, this is, you have to go as it's currently laid out and progress is being made. It's through Sequoia Park, and then you just kind of follow the yellow brick road.
It'll be part of your zoo entry. It starts in Sequoia Park. There'll be a small building created, which actually will have an elevator to get people up to the level. So the great part of this trail is that not the entire thing, but a good portion of it will be disabled accessible. So that provides, you know, an experience that, you know, they can't get in a lot of other places.
Doesn't it almost have to be ADA? If federal funds are involved or state funds?
I don't know the details of that, but I know that there's, you know, are zip lines ADA compliant? All that stuff. Well, then there's your answer.
Yeah. Well, if it's privately done, that's one thing. If it's public money, it's a whole different ballgame.
Sure,
yeah. So, what kind of timeline are they looking at with the construction of this project?
Oh, it's quicker than you think. I think they're going to start breaking ground next year, and on the SkyTrail part. I mean, on the rest of the development, and I believe it's spring of 2020 is the plan for opening it.
So it's that kind of coincides with a couple of other significant projects in the area, too.
Yeah, things are happening.
Thankfully. Uh-huh. Well, is there, at this point, Tony, is there anything that is still a variable with this? Or is it kind of happening and all the vetting has already occurred?
I'm really just familiar with the SkyTrail part of it and not all the rest of the development that they have planned. I know that there's a lot of fundraising that still needs to be done to make that happen. But I believe in terms of vetting and stuff that they have, you know, all the paperwork, it's shovel ready, the whole thing.
If someone is interested in looking at the plans, is this something that's at the city, at City Hall? Is this on a website somewhere? Is there somewhere, if folks want more information, at the Zoo Foundation? I'm sure all those... entities are all involved, and you probably got a couple more also.
Sure. Well, I've been handed hard copies of you know, architectural drawings and artist conceptions and what have you, and I believe they must be somewhere online, but I will get back to you on that one.
Do you guys have it on the visitor's website?
No. We want to really craft a PR campaign. We recognize that the process itself is of interest to visitors. Not
the
just
construction.
Yeah, process. not just to say, hey, it's open, come see it. But there's getting people excited and cranked and planning in the future. So we'll be definitely, cracking that egg when we get to it.
Is this? I know this is probably You're probably the wrong guy for me to ask this of, but okay.
You ask anyway. Go ahead.
Is this a project for local folks, or is this a project for people who are out of the area?
I mean, an attraction?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
It's something to do.
It's absolutely something for local folks to do. And remember, our best ambassadors for tourists are local folks who are bringing their friends and family and showing them around. I mean,
I'm probably talking about the zoo now isn't that big a deal. I mean, it's not top of mind for a lot of folks.
You'd be
it's
surprised.
A little bit more.
You'd be surprised. A lot of folks take their...
Versus the bay or the rivers or
right.
the beaches.
But this is going to be one of those must-see. You know, if you're in town, you must see the Canopy Walk.
So you think this will be up as high as like Old Town or that kind of...
Yes.
To that extent?
Yes, I do. And the marketing around it will make sure of that too.
Well... Then don't forget to remind us.
I will indeed.
Thanks for coming by.
My pleasure.
See you tomorrow.